Father's Day is just around the corner, and you probably need a gift for your hairy dad. Make your dad proud this year and get him and yourself the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right. The Lawnmower 4.0. Get 20% off and free shipping using the promo code HAYES. That's H-A-Y-E-S at manscaped.com. Use the promo code HAYES at manscaped.com.
I'll give you 200-1 on a hunch that Garrett Hago doesn't win the U.S. Open.
Fine.
Done.
Whoa.
Wait a minute, what did we just lock in? I don't even know what we just locked
down.
In.
200-1?
200-1. What am I putting down?
100 if you lose, you idiot.
So you're giving me 200-1 as an outright winner.
Yeah. On Hago.
I don't love it that much. I'm not a big fan.
So godless.
Hago was my last pick. All right, anyway.
It's off then. It's
let
off.
Let me think about it and get back
no,
into it.
No.
All right, he is a national NBA writer for the LA Times. Here is Dan Wyke. How you doing, Dan?
Guys, what did I just walk into? Like,
I don't know, Dan.
It's like the Washington Wizards locker room in the early 2000s.
I know.
Something's getting settled friendly here.
It's getting a little bit. We're talking about some guy, a golfer we never heard of a week ago, and now all of a sudden we have to have some scratch on his play at the U.S. Open. So,
I like it.
Yeah, it's
like
a pretty degenerate conversation is what you're walking into. To put it lightly. So you're in L.A. You know, you're writing for the Times. You write about the NBA. You write about the whole scene. And there's a lot to get into here. But LeBron put himself back onto the front page. And I guess Kawhi Leonard basically factors into that, where Kawhi is out indefinitely. It feels like he's done for the series, maybe for the playoffs. And LeBron jumps on Twitter today, goes on like a multi-tweet diatribe about how he called it. He told the NBA, don't start us up too early or you're going to face injury issues. There have been a lot of injury problems. Are you buying what LeBron is selling?
Sort of, I guess. You kind of hit all the high points, right? Like, this is LeBron inserting himself back into the conversation, and LeBron is known to do this from time to time, right? Whether it's a jersey change or winning a title, anything like this. This is somebody who's operated under the eye of attention for his whole career. So, he knows what he does and says matters. And to me, like, I asked LeBron before the season kind of what his reaction was to finding out that he'd have to be back by, Christmas. And his response was like, oh, bleep. That's how I responded. Oh, bleep. And look, it was going to be a Laker problem. I think obviously the compressed nature of the schedule was a problem for a lot of players and for a lot of teams. And it's certainly part of sort of the tapestry of what's happened this year, right? I think we're going to see this in a lot of sports, guys. This sort of notion, right, that you could pull the emergency brake on everything, which is essentially what happened last March, right? Or 2 Marches ago, I guess now. And then sort of, just pick back up without there being, long-term consequences or ripple effects from that original stoppage. I was talking to a league source of mine today, and we were kind of kicking around sort of how this all went down. And the person from the NBA was sort of defending the league's position. I kind of said, if we're honest about this, though, ultimately, right, the NBA wanted to play as many games as possible to lose the least amount of money possible. And if they really made a misstep, in my opinion, it was that they didn't just decide to go head-to-head with the Olympics in the playoffs. They could have extended the season into August and just kept the calendar and kind of slowly worked the calendar back to kind of the preferred NBA schedule instead of trying to do it all in 1 year. And I think that was ultimately the misstep, but, I don't know how big of a misstep ultimately that is. This is like a once-in-a-100-year pandemic. Like, weird stuff's going to happen. And I think the NBA is experiencing a bunch of weird stuff.
Dan, what got your attention the most today? All kinds of weird stuff. Kawhi news, CP3 news, firings.
Yeah.
We had a crazy day in the hockey world about 3 or 4 years ago. It was just insane where everything kind of happened at once. What got your attention the most today?
It's funny. I think the Stan Van Gundy firing was the one that I think was the most surprising, weirdly, that you had. I know, it's strange, right, that you had, a star player testing positive for COVID, even somebody who's been vaccinated, right? We've seen that stuff happen in the States in sports. We saw it happen with the Yankees where you had a bunch of breakthrough positives. It was kind of bound to happen, right? I've been in some of these full arenas, and it just, like, I remember I was texting with a source of mine, you know, with the Lakers, who was in Phoenix, and he was saying, like, you know, boy, my vaccine's getting a workout here. You know, because there's 14,000 screaming people in an arena, not a lot of mask wearing, and you're like, okay, like, this is still really happening around us. And I think I kind of just shook my head at it, right? But to be honest, like, I've covered Chris Paul for a long time, and, like, he's had rotten luck in the playoffs. So for him to have more rotten luck in the playoffs, like, it wasn't all that surprising to me. Same goes for Kawhi Leonard, right? Like, this is a guy who's been battling injuries, and, you know, that's been sort of part of his narrative for 4 or 5 seasons now. And, you know, I kind of knew it wasn't going to be great when in a pretty important playoff game, he sat the final 6 minutes. That told me it was probably not going to be great. The Van Gundy thing, and this is why it got me weirdly, is that you start to think about the future of the league and how much of that rests on Zion Williamson. And it's like, that guy is going to be playing for his third coach in 3 seasons in this league. And it's just sort of like, for whatever reason, that was the one that I was like, I just didn't see it coming. I probably should have. But then obviously, I think when we learned later in the day that, you know, the Dallas Mavericks front office has sort of been unraveled, and it's just kind of the totality, it was sort of like death by 1,000 paper cuts today in some ways for me. It was just sort of the totality of everything was like, when's it going to stop? A scout told me a great line today. He said, I'm not picking up the phone. It can't be good news if it rings.
Well, it's true, and we're chatting with Dan Wagner of the LA Times, and obviously up here in Toronto, everyone's spidey sense is going off because of what happened in Dallas, right? Although there have been reports coming out that there's some, you know, some unrest in that front office. There's some weird going-ons, and I guess someone was hired recently in that front office who has a louder voice and a lot of pull within the organization. And Luka, everything that's going on, but the connection of Masai Ujiri, because he's still not signed with Toronto. As an outsider, we appreciate your view because you're as connected as you are, but you don't have any bias to Toronto or to Masai, for that matter. Could you connect those dots? Do you see those dots at all? Where does Masai Ujiri stand in all of this?
There very well may be a number makes Masai Ujiri want to move to Dallas, Texas. There very well may be a number that, I mean, I think obviously the building around Luka, like, that's the fun part, right? Like, the hard part is finding someone as good as Luka, and that would be appealing, I would think, right? Like, you have the star, and you get to sort of mold the clay around him. I could see how that would be appealing, and I think the money would be right. I don't think he would enjoy working for Mark Cuban at all. It is sort of just my general sense, kind of knowing what I know about how the Mavericks front office works and knowing what I know about Masai. You know, does he really want to work with a super hands-on owner? I mean, super hands-on owner, like, stands on the outside of the huddles hands-on, you know, kind of shoots free throws on the courts before the game level of hands-on ownership. Is that really what he wants? Does he have the patience, the stomach? Now, look, there. Like I said, there could be a number that can make that all palatable. I know there would be one for me, but you know, you talk to people who have worked in Dallas before, and that's kind of what they point to in all of this stuff, right? Is that you've got, you know, a meddling owner, and you want an owner who's involved and willing to spend money. And Mark Cuban is those things, and that's good, and he's interested and he cares. But you know. To steal a phrase from LeVar Ball, is he a guy who knows how to stay in his lane? I don't think he does.
The host of this show thought KD needed a performance last night for his own legacy, if you can believe that, Dan. What did you make of what KD? What did you make of what KD did last night? And can they kind of hang on for dear life here with the injuries?
Well, that's a good question, too, you know, because there is, in my column today at the LA Times, you sort of write that. It's like, it feels like, okay, like, the stage is set for the Brooklyn Nets to go win the title and you know, can be celebrated as sort of the last team standing. But it's like, you know, Kevin Durant just played 48 minutes, James Harden just played, what, like 46, I think, in that game?
Yep, 46.
And, yeah, that could very well have effects in 48 hours, too. you know, so we don't really know what kind of lays ahead for them. It was probably one of the best playoff games. Or, you know what? Let's not even coach. It's one of the best performances I've ever seen. He was incredible on offense, incredible on defense. Willed that team to victory. Got nothing from James Harden except a headache. You know, it was. Did he need it to cement his legacy? I don't think so. I mean, I've always kind of viewed him as probably the most unique scorer in NBA history. Is sort of how I like. I don't think there's a qualifier in that. Could he have used it if you want to argue that he's the best player in the world right now? I think maybe it signals he's back fully, you know, in the truest sense. But you just always, you know, I was in the building. I mean, you guys saw it in that series against the Raptors, and it's just like that seeing him on the court. Watching that Achilles kind of like almost like a schoolhouse map kind of roll up the back of his leg. It's how can that not be a problem in the future at some point? You figure it has to be, but, you know, what he did last night was, I mean, he looked like the best player in the world.
It was a phenomenal performance. And the whole thing about a legacy platform is it can go both ways. You perform the way you do, we're going to remember that for a long, long time. You're allowed to use it on a positive side as well. It's not only negative. That's the way he performed last night. It was an incredible
I'm a newspaper journalist in America. It mostly is always negative.
It generally is. And believe me, that's what I was driving home yesterday, that if he failed, I would just be railing on him today. But today he didn't. He performed. He was just outstanding last night, and the series goes back to Milwaukee. Always great to catch up with you, Dan. We really appreciate the time, man. We'll do it again soon.
All right, guys, you be good, be safe, and we'll talk soon.
You got it. Dan Wieke, national NBA writer for the LA Times.
Would you like to hear one more time before we go to break my favorite new clip on the show?
Yep.
Play
it. He put the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis over his lap and gave him a spanking with a leather belt. And it was Gucci.
And it was Gucci.
I don't know. I still like the Kevin Durant comment. Like him. I'm Kevin Durant. We got to find that sound because I thought that was legendary too. Like he was looking at people going like, are you shocked? I'm Kevin Durant.
His burner accounts last night, he was up till 3-4 in the morning last night, just going nuts, burner accounts. I probably heard from him last night. I should go back and look. Shout out to KD. Did exactly what I said he had to. Love to see that type of performance. We'll see if he goes tomorrow night. If we're up to Reggie Miller, he wouldn't even fly to Milwaukee. Stay in Brooklyn.